Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, the devil's number one target. Denzel Washington was mocked when he said that perhaps the devil was somehow involved in Will Smith's outburst. His fellow actors said, "That's stupid. There is no devil." Well, let me tell you what. If you don't believe in a devil, I can tell you, you're not only losing the battle, you're probably losing the war. There is a real devil. Be sober, be vigilant, Peter said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeing whom he may devour. If you don't believe in the devil, you have a difficult time explaining the news. And even the society that we live in, it's so much different than it was 50 years ago. People are just more wicked than they used to be. Used to be people stole because they were hungry. They steal and kill people just because it's the joy of their debauchery. There is a real devil. If you don't believe that, why are mothers killing children? Why are children killing parents? Child abuse, molestation. Look at Ukraine. Those people are being savagely murdered. Let's look at the text. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all speaks to the priority of faith. The priority of faith. Shield. He said, take the shield. The shield indicates the defensive nature of faith. Quench the fiery darts speaks of the offensive nature of faith. Suddenly, faith is, for lack of better terminology, ambidextrous, right or left, defensive or offensive. Fiery darts indicates a target. There is a real target. You don't throw darts up in the air. You throw them at a target. Sean said something. I was appalled that this man that I knew on Christian television was branded as a great prophet when his prophecies were not coming true, just missing one right after another. There's a dire warning about false prophecies in the Bible. And so he was missing them right and left, and suddenly hit one, and one of my friends from the Golden Triangle said, he's the greatest living prophet today. He hit one out of about 50. And Sean told me, he said, it's my experience, if you throw enough darts at a dartboard, you will eventually hit the bullseye. Sean is very philosophical. When you get him started on a subject, you're going to learn everything there is about that subject. And so when you talk about fiery darts, it indicates a target. The wicked, that indicates the devil. So there it is, the human devil warfare all summed up in one little verse, with the outcome, the victory defined in one short phrase, above all. Above all, priority. Above all, taking the shield of faith. It is not good to fall, but it is able to recover from a fall. Falling is not like losing your faith. Losing your faith is the worst. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Target defined, your faith, my faith, our faith. There it is, the target. The number one target of the devil is your faith. Your faith is the target. Why? Because the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. It's the only thing that God can use to make a human whole. Listen to that. The only thing that God can use to make a human whole is your faith. You must believe. It is the probing, prying, injunction of Christ. Every message is your faith. Have faith. Believe. the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus turned to her and said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." That word whole there means complete. Not just the issue, but your entire being is made whole. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got saved, Christ did not just save you, He fixed you. He is involved in every element of your life. You are now whole in Him. Zacchaeus, when he was up the tree looking at Christ, Jesus said, "This day is salvation." That word salvation is like the word whole. It's more than just being saved from hell. It is literally being fulfilled in all the areas of your life. Salvation is saved from death. It means you're healed. It means you're restored. Sometimes I don't think we require enough for our wholeness or our salvation. We don't expect enough. The price that Christ paid, it ought to involve everything. If it just involved a little bit, Jesus got cheated. Because the awful price that He paid should involve the wholeness of your life, the salvation and the completeness of your life. So whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith is what overcomes the world. And the Bible said the world is the enemy of God. It has enmity with the saints. And so we overcome that which is an enemy, that which has enmity. The method the devil uses, the darts of the devil. And I could talk about hundreds of them. There are hundreds of darts of the devil. They are diverse and they are numerous. Let's look at just a couple. The terrible dart of depression, when you just don't want to get out of bed, when you just can't imagine going to work one more time, when you don't want to have to make one more decision, when it seems like you just can't face one more sunrise. That's a dart of the devil. The dart of condemnation, when no matter what you do, you feel like you're defeated, you feel like you're condemned, you feel like nothing is working, nothing is going to turn out right. It's the dart of condemnation. The dart of fear, when you watch enough broadcast, enough telecast, listen to enough people that suddenly fear penetrates the shield of faith and gets to you. That's all the devil's darts. It's to attack your faith. The hopelessness, the loss of interest and the importance of life. Have you ever had those fleeting thoughts where it just doesn't matter? It doesn't matter whether I do this or not. The real optimum of faith is that everything I do matters. If God is so infinite in His care for me, my actions are important, as small as they are. But that hopelessness is a dart of the devil. That loss of interest and importance of life. Remember, faith overcomes the world. Faith defeats the devil. Faith refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. One of the great things about faith is it gives you the ability to say no. The difference between you and the people that are around you that are failing, they don't have the ability to say no. They don't have the ability to say no to negative things, to drugs, to alcohol, to gossip, to injury, to prejudice. Not just going to be that way. Becky says it best. Everything is a choice. Everything is a decision. That ability to say no. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Moses when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? That was his livelihood. That was his livelihood. Just the ability to say no. I've shared with you on numerous occasions about how the church in the early 80s and the economy got so bad. Mr. Carter was president. We had a loan at Frost Bank. It was a floating loan for $1 million. It floated to 19.5% interest. We were paying almost a fifth of the loan just in interest. $200,000 a year is what that is on a $1 million loan. We were just devastated financially. Our property values, our appraisal went on this freeway from $12 a square foot. That's what it was worth. It dropped to 50 cents a square foot. There was no value in this property. But the good thing is we used that because we were able to buy property around this church extremely cheap that before had been out of our reach. Remember this, the Lord, if you're faithful to God, He always takes the evil and turns it to your good. If property values had stayed at that point at $12 a foot, we wouldn't own 40 acres on this freeway. It turned out for our good. But one of the things that happened was I'd gotten a lot of people saved from the nightclubs here in San Antonio, and they'd been involved in the Mexican mafia, and they were drug people. And so I had a lot of contacts into that world about 1981 to 83. And one of those guys came to me, and he said, I've got a proposition for you. He said, if you will let us use your nonprofit corporation for all the bingo games in San Antonio, we'll give you 10% of the profits. You don't know. You just don't know, Michael, how tempted I was. We desperately needed money. I mean, we were having trouble servicing our debt. And so I said, I'll pray about it. And I told the guy to come back in a couple of days, and I'd give him an answer. And I had a dream. And I've shared this with you before, but I was in my old office sitting at the desk, and I had a blue leather couch sitting in front of that desk, and that gentleman, which was involved in a lot of shady things, he was sitting in front of me, great personality, offering me a great opportunity. But in my dream, I came up over the desk, and I said to him, for sale? For sale? We're not for sale. We're not even for rent. And then I woke up. And so when I shared that dream with him, he was not impressed, I can tell you that. But, oh, we needed that money so bad. But my faith said, God is going to get us through. And it's not going to take gambling money and bingo money and underworld money to save us. God will somehow sustain us. And did He ever? Did He ever? What is it? Faith is the ability to say no. That's what faith does. That's the reason why you're here and they're not. They couldn't say no. You could say no. You've got spiritual discernment to realize this looks good, but it's going to turn out bad. It's going to turn out bad. Another part of that story was there was a man that owned nightclubs in this city. I don't think I've ever shared this part of it. He owned a moving company, moving vans, and he owned a lot of the coin machines, soda machines, all of these. And so he said, I'm going through a divorce. I don't want my wife to get any of this. I want to give it to the church. And so I went down to his building. It was loaded with money. I mean, barrels of coins. It was downtown, and it was a huge building, a lot bigger than this room, just loaded with money. He said, all you got to do is sign here. I'm going to give all this to the church. And so I contacted my lawyer. My lawyer was an atheist, but he was not a mean atheist. He was an inquiring atheist, but he was a good lawyer. And I said to him, James, I said, here's the deal. He said, I know who you're talking about. I said, that guy is infamous. He is known throughout San Antonio. I promise you that. And he said, Steve, how long are you going to be here? I said, the rest of my life. He said, I know it's lucrative now, but you need to turn him down. One day, he's going to be the front page of the San Antonio paper, and if you partner with him, you're going to be right there beside him. One of the hardest things I ever did, Jerome, was say no to that. That was going to be lots and lots of money in the early 80s when we desperately needed it as a church, but I said no. It was not a year or so later that I picked up the paper. He became a friend of mine. He came to church some, but I picked up the paper, and there he was. They had killed him, and they had slit his mother, which run one of his bars. They had slit her throat from ear to ear. And I said to James, James, you were right. He said, I knew I was. But it was that ability, not just for the lawyer's advice, the Holy Ghost, faith saying, I can do it without underworld figures. At that same time, one of my friends that pastored a great church in Kansas City, a large church, called me and said, Steve, can you see me? I'm in the jail. I went down to visit him, and he had laundered money from people just like that. He went to prison for 12 years. It's just the ability to say no. The devil's going to dangle things in front of you, but his number one objective is to target your faith. To get you to depend on things that are unsavory, things that are not right, to depend on your flesh. But we that are sold out, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, we have the ability to say, no, we simply are not going to do that. One of the people in this church owned a great restaurant 30, 40 years ago. He came to me and said, "Pastor, we don't serve alcohol in our restaurant. I don't personally drink." But he said, "In order for my restaurant to be lucrative, we're going to have to serve alcohol. What do you think about that?" I said, "I think that's a mistake." He said, "Well, we're going to do it." A year, that restaurant had been flourishing for 10 years. He started serving alcohol within a year. That restaurant was closed and out of business. He just didn't have the faith to say no. My question to you today is, do you have the faith to say no? To refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and say, "My faith is not in things. My faith is not in people. My faith is not in money. My faith is in Almighty God. I am persuaded that He is able, that I am in His hand, that He will provide for you." I don't know who in this building today needs this, but somebody does. God is on your side. You got to stand up strongly and say no to what the devil is tempting you with, because he is targeting your faith. And when you make shipwreck of your faith, you've lost it all. You will fall sometimes. That's all right, because the just rise seven times. But it's not all right to cast away your faith and cast away your confidence. Faith prophesies. It not only refuses, faith prophesies. It speaks to your future. If you've got real faith, you begin to talk about the Lord. You talk about what the Lord has done, and then based on what the Lord has done, you prophesy on what the Lord will do. All of my prophecies are based on what the Lord has done, not only scripturally and historically from the cross and what God has done, but what He has done for me day to day. We used to call it counting your blessings one by one. Can you look back and see what God has done in your life and then stand on the tiptoes of faith and say, "Praise God, I want to prophesy. I want to speak to my future. What saith it? The word of nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." If faith cometh by hearing, then faith is released by speaking. What you say is vitally important. Pastor Brother Copeland and all of Pastor Hagin and all of the faith people have been ridiculed by the body of Christ at large because they speak about confession so much. But friend, I want to tell you there is integrity and worth in what you speak. Learn to speak in faith. This is what God is going to do in my life. Oh, I know my children are making a testimony now, but praise God, they're going to be saved. Speak it in existence. Oh, I know I might not have the cash in hand now, but tomorrow, about this time, speak the word of faith. Faith is an amazing thing. And so the number one target of the devil is to shoot darts into your faith and to decimate and bring down your faith, destroy it until you no longer can trust God. No matter what happens, I know that my God is. I know that He's a good God. I know that He is a willing God. And I know that He cares about me personally. I know I'm never far from His sight. I know I'm always close to His protection. Faith does speak. And I want to speak today that we have not seen our best days at Living Way Church. You would think after 47 years, maybe the best has come and gone. But ladies and gentlemen, I tell you the best is yet to come. I tell you we're going to see more saved in the next few years than we have ever seen. I tell you, we're going to see more miracles than we have ever seen. We're going to have outstanding miracles, miracles that will make the papers, miracles that will cause people to be astounded, will cause people to take a second look and decide that they need to try what God is doing. Our best days are yet ahead of us. We're going to see the Holy Ghost fall like rain in this building. We're going to have services where the altar call is never made. It's just a whole place is the altar, and people are being saved and healed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of faith. I want to tell the devil, above all, I have taken the shield of faith, and your darts have not been able to penetrate my faith. I'm like Caleb. I'm stronger now than I ever was. My optimism is greater than it's ever been. My knowledge of the God that I serve is intact. that he is a great God. He's not old, he's not feeble, he's not out of resource. My God is real, he's alive, and he's in my life. He's in this building. And number three, faith acts. It does things. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show thee faith by my works. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes real faith. It takes faith not just to speak, but to act. There are times in your life when you've just got to get up and do something. Just got to get up and do something. We have built four times in the history of this church, plus the buildings that we have bought. But on the very first building, we started with little or no money. And somewhere in the midst of that, about the time we got it up in the air, we ran out of money. We couldn't pay contractors. We couldn't pay laborers. We had to shut down the building. And so I didn't know exactly what to do except speak in faith. God's going to make a way. God's going to open the door. The Lord will provide. And so what I did, it was funny, but it worked. I went down and bought me a coverall, or not coveralls, but overalls. My daddy was an engineer on the railroad, and when I was a little boy, my daddy used to wear overalls. I hated overalls. I still hate overalls. I think they're the worst-looking piece of material a person could put on their body. And all of the old farmers where I was raised wore overalls, those old bib overalls. And my daddy wore those for a long time, and then something happened to my daddy. He started wearing slacks and sports shirts. He was an engineer on the New York Central Railroad. I was so proud of my daddy when he made that change from those engineer overalls to those slacks and the sports shirts. I think it's because they went from the fire where they had to shovel the coal, and they went to the diesel locomotives. That's when he could change his attire. But I was so glad when daddy quit wearing those overalls. And so I hated them all my life. But all of a sudden I realized I got to look like somebody that's building something. I went, Brother Jerome, and bought me, I don't know whether you were here, I think it's maybe before you, I went and bought me a pair of overalls. And they got a little loop on them where you can hang a hanger, or you can hang a hammer in there. I put me a hanger in there. There wasn't any workmen over there. It was just locked up because we was out of money. We couldn't get nobody to work. And so I'd go in there and do what, I'm not a carpenter. I'd do what little things I could, drive a nail here or there, walk around in my overalls and just say, the Lord is building this building. Oh, praise God. And it was about that time that Claudel Kirchhoff from Citizen Frost, whom I had never met, said, Steve, I like you, and I'm going to give you $1 million. Oh, friend, you say, well, I don't think those overalls had anything to do. The smallest actions can bring the biggest result. Put a smile on your face. Get a prophecy on your lips. And then go into action and say, I'm going to do what's right. That's the reason why coming to God's house at your lowest point can be your biggest victory. Not just when you feel good, but when you can barely drag your carcass in this building and put your cadaver in a pew and say, I came to praise the Lord. Why is that? That is an action of faith. It speaks to the Lord. It speaks to your spirit. But praise God, it tells the devil, I'm going to quench all of your darts. I'm not going to quit coming. I'm not going to quit singing. I'm not going to quit praising God because I have got faith. I might have fallen, but even in a prone position, I know that my God is able. He's going to lift me up. And so I can tell you that the devil has failed on his number one target in my life. He's affected my leg. He's affected my body. I got metal in my body. But praise God, he ain't never been able to touch my faith. My faith says that God is able. My faith says that God will make a way where there is no way. My faith says that God will heal me. My leg is about 75%. But praise God, it's been a year now, and I'm confessing that there's 25% left, and it's going to be a miracle. I'm going to get all this pain out of my leg. This tendon is going to do what it's supposed to do. The devil is a liar. My faith says that God is able. My faith says that nothing is too hard. My faith says you're going to have a good job. My faith says you're going to get paid more than you've ever paid. My faith says your husband is coming to Jesus. My faith says you're going to get a husband. My faith says you're going to get a wife and a good one. My faith says you're going to have a financial increase in your life. My faith says you're going to have divine health in Jesus' name. It don't matter that your daddy died young. You're going to live to be an old man. You're going to live to be an old woman. That's what my faith says. You need to get up. The Bible said walk around Zion. That's what you need to do, is walk around Zion. Pull up every rock and say, what's under this rock for me? What is God hiding, hidden here for me? I know that God is able and he's a miracle worker, ladies and gentlemen. I am not afraid of these times. My God saw the end from the beginning.